This is God's word. Come on, say it with conviction. This is God's word. Not Pastor Redman's word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you this morning for who you are. We thank you for Jesus Christ, your son, that you sent just for us to have a better life. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who empowers us to live a life that will cause our lights to shine before men so that they can see our good works and glorify you. And so as I step back, I thank you for inspiring and breathing on what you have put in my heart to share with your people. And I thank you that because of this word, our lives are going to go up. Because of this word, it's going to bring conviction in our lives so that, Father, we can not only represent you better, but, Father, we can represent the kingdom of God better. And so, Lord, I thank you for every person who's going to hear this, who's going to see this, and who's going to receive this in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. Y'all look amazing today. When people ask me how I'm doing, I say I'm amazing. And they look at me like, wow, he looks like he means that. Because I do, praise the Lord. So I'm starting a new series for the month of October that I believe it's going to bless you. I believe it's going to challenge you. I believe it's going to grow you. And I know if you stick with it, it's going to prosper you. And so if you need notes today, just raise your hand and our ushers will give them to you. If you're following us online, there should be a link where you can click to get the notes. But today's message title and the series title is Excellence, Being Your Best in Every Area of Life. Excellence, being your best in every area of your life. And here it is, almost 20 years of pastoring, I have never taught a message on excellence. But what I do know in my heart, that if I had not learned excellence, I would not be standing where I'm standing. And so I believe excellence is something that not only have I strived for as a person and as a pastor, but also for our church, because I believe, everybody say he believes. I believe that many of you would not be in this building today and many of you would not be watching us had you not seen and experienced some level of excellence in this church. Can we give the Lord a hand clap for that? Yes. So the reason I'm teaching this series is so that your life can excel and that you can grow in excellence. Because one of the things I'm going to show you through this series is the only way to go up is that you got to grow up. And many people want to go up in life, listen, without grasping the principles that will first grow you up in life. And see, here's the thing. You can't go up until you first grow up. And the only way, and when you'll see one of the principles of excellence, is that when you function in it, it will automatically push you to the top. And I want to make sure that our church as a whole functions with excellence in every area of ministry and every area of your personal life so that your life can go to new levels of excellence as well. So let's do this. Let's look at our text today. And then what we're going to do, I want to show you what excellence is. And then I'm going to break it down into three categories to help us really understand it. Now, the text that we're going to be looking at today is found in Daniel chapter 6. And we're going to read verse 1 through 3. And we're reading it out of the King James Version this morning. They're going to put it on the screen. And so it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. So think about it. In our country, it's like 120 governors. Well, they call them princes. And verse 2 says, and over these three, and over those princes, there were three presidents of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give accounts unto the king so he wouldn't have any loss or damage. Verse 3. Then this Daniel was what, church? He was preferred above the what? The presidents and the princes. And Lee, I want you to read this with me. Because an excellent spirit was in him. Because an excellent spirit was in him. It did not say he functioned in excellence. Because the world can do that. It said that he had an excellent spirit in him. And watch this. Because of this excellent spirit, it says the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So Daniel was preferred and promoted, listen, because he had an excellent spirit. The excellence that he possessed, it caused him to stick out and to stand out. Everybody say stick out and stand out. Think about this now. There were 120 officers over the kingdom. And then there were three presidents over them. But the Bible told us that Daniel was so good that he was better than not only the 120, but he was better than the other two presidents. Which we could say that his excellence caused him to be better than 122 people. Which means that he was 100 times better than everybody around him. Say amen to that. So what is excellence? What is excellence? So what I'm going to do here, I'm going to read the definition of excellence. But excellence is so broad, I can't shorten the definition. So I'm going to read all of it, and then we're going to break it down into three key areas this morning. So here's what excellence is. It means performing at the highest level of quality. Everybody say performing at the highest level of quality. Excellence means consistently striving to improve. It means to seek to reach your fullest potential in any given area. Excellence involves dedication, discipline, attention to detail, and a commitment to doing one's best. Excellence isn't about being perfect or perfection. But it's pursuing progress at the highest level possible. So I'm not talking about perfection because there's no such thing as perfection. But what I'm saying is we're pursuing to go to the highest level. And then from a Christian standpoint or perspective, excellence goes beyond human effort. See, I'm not just talking about, you know, regular excellence like the world has. I'm talking about this excellence that goes beyond human effort. It means reflecting God's nature in all that we do. This includes using our gifts, our talents, our service, and us serving others, which is done as an act of worship. Why? Because God is a God of excellence. And that's why he tells us in Colossians 3, and whatever we do, whether you're cleaning the bathroom, amen. Whether you're turning in a report at work, he says, whatever you do, you need to do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. And here's why. Because men don't always see your commitment. But he says, you do it not unto men. Why? He said, the only way you're going to be able to do it heartily unto the Lord and not unto man, the only way is to know something. Well, know what? Knowing that from the Lord is where I'm going to receive my reward, for we serve the Lord Christ. Say amen to that. Finally, excellence, watch this, is about honoring God with our work, with our character, with integrity, and pursuing his standards, which transcends worldly status or standards. So let's break this down into three areas so we can keep it simple. So first of all, excellence, number one, is a deep desire for us to be our best for God. It is a deep desire for us to be our best for God. Here's number two. Excellence is a deep desire for us to be our best, watch this, for ourselves. See, excellent people never compare themselves to others. They compete with themselves. And then number three, excellence is a deep desire for us to be our best, watch this, at serving others. And see, the problem that I see with Christians today is our best doesn't leave room for improvement or growth. Your best shouldn't mean you can't do better. Say amen to that. Everybody say years ago. Years ago, my dad did not know he was teaching me excellence. I don't think he did it on purpose because he would have given me a speech about it. But he taught me excellence through example. So we all had duties back in those days. The world calls it chores. And there were several categories of chores. And one of the main chores was if you had kitchen duty. I didn't like kitchen duty. Because at kitchen duty, you were responsible for the whole week to make sure the kitchen was clean. Listen, and my parents, for whatever reason, did not believe that the dishwasher could do its own job. We had to wash the dishes first and then put those clean dishes in the dishwasher for the dishwasher to wash it. Anybody have parents like that? Let me see your hand. I never understood that. So it was my week for kitchen duty. One of the things you do on kitchen duty is you're supposed to wash all the dishes and stuff, of course. And then you have to sweep and mop the kitchen. Well, this particular day, I wasn't in the mood for all that. So I was like, well, he ain't gonna know. Cause I was doing it for he, you know, this, you had to do it at night or in the evening after we've had dinner. So I was tired. So you couldn't get away with halfway washing the dishes. Okay. Can't get away with that. But I was like, you know, I ain't mopping this kitchen today. I mean, I ain't sweeping it. So I decided to mop the kitchen without sweeping it. What you're supposed to do is to take the kitchen table, move it out of the kitchen area so you can sweep. We had a pantry with like the trash can and stuff. You took that stuff out, you swept it, and then you mop. That ain't what Evan Connor did that day. I just figured I'm thinking, look, if dirt is on the floor, the mop will get it up. So I mopped that floor without sweeping that floor. My dad came in and inspected that floor. He says, Evan, did you sweep the floor before you mopped? Well, what is I going to say? It's obvious. No. Did you move the kitchen table? No. Did you clean out the pantry? No. He says, then you need to do it again. And that day, I made a decision that if I don't want to do it right the second time, the best thing to do is to do it right the first time. And so I learned excellence from him by default. So as I learned this excellence from him, this lesson of excellence has grown over the years as I've encountered what I call new levels of excellence from different environments and different people. So let's look at some principles real quick in the life of Daniel that I believe will help you. Here's the first one. This is the first point today. Excellence is inside out, not just outside in. I'm going to say that again. Excellence is inside out, not just outside in. See, the world has outside in, outside excellence. They have that. But what I'm talking about is how well something is done, not just how the world do it, but because they can do good with presentations and they can turn in amazing reports and they can perform at high levels. That's excellence on the outside. But what I'm talking about is excellence also coming from the inside. And Daniel's excellence came from the inside, not just the outside. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 4, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. We're going to see Daniel's excellence coming from the inside. This king named Nebuchadnezzar says, I was living in my palace in comfort and prosperity. But one night I had a dream that frightened me. I saw visions that terrified me as I laid in my bed. So I issued an order calling in all the wise men of Babylon so they could tell me what my dream meant. And when all the magicians and the enchanters and the astrologers and the fortune tellers, when they came in, I told them the dream, but they could not tell me what it meant. Verse 8 now says, at last Daniel came in before me and I told him the dream. His name was Belshazzar, after my God, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him. Watch verse 9. He says, I said to him, Daniel, Belshazzar, because he changed Daniel's name to from Daniel to Belshazzar. He says, chief of musicians, I know, listen to what he says about Daniel. I know that the spirit of the holy gods is where? In you, and that no mystery is too great for you to solve. Now tell me what the dream means. So this king saw excellence in Daniel. My question to you today is, can people see excellence in you? They saw excellence. This king saw excellence in Daniel's life. And I want you to notice that it was Daniel's conviction about God in his life that the people he served saw. Because what you may not realize is God is a God of excellence. Everybody say God is a God of excellence. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. In the New Living Translation, it says, may God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God. So if you want some more grace and you want some more peace in your life, then grow in some knowledge in him. And then verse 3, it says, and by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We've received all of this by coming to know him. The one, watch this church, who has called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and his what? And his what? Everybody say God is a God of excellence. Listen to verse 4. And because of his glory and because of his excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. And see, we have God's spirit on the inside, which means that you and I should live with excellence. Psalm chapter 8 verse 1 says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Who has set the glory above the heavens? And here's the sad thing. Touch your neighbor and say, I think he's about to talk to you. Go on and tell him. Some of us give God a bad name because of what we do, how we live, and how we work. I bet you right now we got a lot of nice cars out there in that parking lot, but I bet I can find one that I can start a McDonald's franchise in with all those dried french fries in it. Have you ever referred like a friend or a friend's child to a job position that you had, you know, influence over? And so they get the job because of you. But they get over there and embarrass you. They got the job not because of their name. They got the job because of your name. And that's how many Christians are today. We bear the name of Jesus Christ, but we make him look bad. I'm gonna get into this more next week, but let me just say this. If you have any Christian emblems on your car, or anything that makes it look like you are a Christian. You got a fish on the back. Or you got like, you know, God is good. Or you got some kind of Christian bumper sticker. Listen, if you're not going to obey the speed limit, take it off. If you're going to shoot somebody in the finger, take it off. If you're going to be hucking, being mad at people, take it off. You're making Jesus look bad. Listen, church, excellence is not just an attitude, but excellence requires action. Which now brings us to point number two, which is excellence is never by accident. It is always intentional. I'm going to say that again. Excellence is never by accident. It's not going to just automatically happen. It's not by default. No, excellence is never by accident. It is always intentional. And what's interesting about Daniel is that he served, watch this, four different kings that we know of in the Bible. Now, the Bible references that three of those four kings recognized his excellent spirit and quality. And one of the things that Daniel did because he had an excellent spirit was to exercise certain disciplines, because you cannot function in excellence without having some levels of disciplines. Say amen to that. Listen, you cannot flow in high levels of excellence without having some disciplines in your life. And Daniel had some disciplines. And so we're going to read Daniel chapter 1 now, just to see one of the disciplines in Daniel's life, because he has several disciplines if you check his life out. One of his disciplines is he prayed 3 times a day in the same spot, facing in the same direction to God. Well, it said, then the king ordered Asnaz, his chief of staff, to bring to the palace some of the young men of Judah's royal family and other noble families who had been brought to Babylon as captives. Because you have to understand, Daniel was actually a slave. So he's serving these people. Verse 4 says, so he told, the king told him, select only strong, healthy, and good-looking young men, he said. Make sure they are well-versed in every branch of learning. Make sure they're gifted with knowledge and good judgment and are suited to serve in the royal palace. Train these young men in the language and literature of Babylon. And so the king assigned them, I'm in verse 5, a daily ration of food and wine from his own kitchens. So even as a slave, he made sure they ate what he was eating. Watch this. He says they were to be trained for 3 years and then they would enter the royal service. Here it is, we got people, oh, God called me to preach, and you can't wait 3 years. What's your problem? Anyway, I just threw some shade, that's all. Verse 6, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were 4 of those chosen men among the tribe of Judah. Watch verse 7. The chief of staff renamed them with these Babylon names. Daniel was called Belshazzar. Hananiah was called Shadrach. Meshach was called Meshach. And Azariah was called Abednego. But Daniel was determined, verse 8, not to defile himself, watch this, by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. Daniel had enough discipline that there were certain foods that God did not want his kids to eat. So he said, no, just because the king eats it doesn't mean I need to. See, this is where you have to have a conviction. Others may, I can't. Others may do, I won't. And see, Daniel knew that, no, I'm going to let my convictions run my life. I'm going to let excellence run in my life, not what other people think about me. And so you can read in Daniel 1 verse 12, he asked the people that were watching him to just feed them with beans and with water. And verse 15 says, and at the end of 10 days, Daniel and his 3 friends looked healthier and better nourished than the young men who had been eating the food assigned by the king. And when you jump down to verse 18, it says, when a training period ordered by the king was completed, the chief of staff brought, oh, watch this now, all the young men to the king of Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 19, the king talked with him, or to talk with them, and no one impressed him as much as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the royal service. You know why? Because they had excellence on them. Daniel's actions is what displayed his excellence, not just his words. I'm going to say that again. Daniel's actions are what displayed his excellence, not just his word. And unfortunately, the thing that I see in Christians and in the church, and especially in our world today, is that, listen, we have replaced integrity with our intentions. Okay, yeah, I'll be there at 9. That's our intention. Get there at 9:15. But my heart was good. I meant to be there. You understand? Look at your neighbor and say, he ain't talking to nobody in here. Now look at your other neighbor and say, you a lie. See, we live in this grace dispensation, which most people have misinterpreted to mean it's okay to do what we want to do because God loves us and he always forgives us. And although that might be true, listen to Romans 6. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Watch now in the New Living Translation. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? It says, of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? In other words, church, how can we be a witness to the world when we look, live, and talk like them? Which now brings us to point number 3. And that is, excellence must grow if it is going to show. Everybody say, excellence must grow if it is going to show. Many people have not, listen, I'm convinced that most people have not been exposed to and shown new levels of excellence. But then there are some others who may have been exposed, but they haven't grown their excellence because they don't see a benefit. In other words, if you want God to display you, how many want God to use you on new levels and big platforms? Well, if you want God to display you, your excellence has to grow. So we're going to use our last, two other scriptures, 1 Corinthians 12. I want to show you my whole point in this point right here. My whole point is your excellence needs to grow. It can't stay where it's at. If it stays where it's at, you're going to be where you at. I'm going to say that again. If your excellence stays where it's at, you're going to be where you at. We'll say, well, Pastor, I'm good being where I'm at. Then you know what? You're stuck in pride because pride never wants to change. Okay. And God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, and then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do they all have gifts of healings? Do they all speak with tongues? Do they all interpret? Watch verse 31. Here's the verse. But he says, I want you to covet or desire earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you, read it with me, a more excellent way. See, your excellence can grow. And if you want to go up, your excellence needs to go up. Everybody say, if I want to go up, my excellence needs to grow up. Listen to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 4, because this word excellence that we just read about is used again. It said, by faith, Abel offered unto God, watch this, a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. What kind of sacrifice? A more excellent sacrifice. That word excellent there means greater, more superior, and more. So here's my question to you. Were you ever taught excellence, or are you still stuck at the excellence level you learned growing up? Maybe you were taught growing up, hey, just make passing grades, you'll be okay. And you still stuck there now. And so that's why you do a half job at work. Amen. Matthew 5:20 uses this word excellence. He says, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. That word exceed is the same word excellence. So excellence means to exceed. Everybody say exceed. Matthew 21:36 says, again, he sent other servants more than the first. The word more there is the word excellence. Everybody say excellence means more. Acts 4:17 says, but that is spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them. That word further is the same word excellence. Here's one more, Acts 15:28. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. The word greater is the word excellence. In other words, guess what? Excellence must grow if it is going to show. And this teaching, I believe, is going to give you a new level of thinking and a new level of action in this area. Because teaching will do that. So, you know, every now and then on the weekends, I'll come through here, just check out the church, see how things are going, make sure things are in order and everything. And so yesterday, the cleaning lady pointed something out to me, so I sent that information. So I decided to go in both the men's and the women's restrooms, right? So I go into the ladies' restroom, and I see some things that need to be adjusted, so I sent that, right? And so I went in the men's restroom, and I noticed in the urinal, now this might sound a little nasty, but it is what it is. Y'all know what a urinal is, right? Right. In those urinals, they put these little plastic things, so when men use it, things don't splatter everywhere, right? And so I noticed in there that the ones that were in ours, the name that was advertising the company who made them was upside down. I was like, that's weird. I don't think they made it to work like that because they want you to read the name. Whether you're down using it, just see the name. I couldn't read the name. I was like, that's weird. So I was like, okay, I don't think they made it like that. So I think it was like five in there. Only one was done right. So I went and got some paper towels, and I went and I turned over each one of them and centered them in the thing, right? And I noticed that with the name being up, they had little spikes on them So when a man uses it, it don't splatter. But the other way around, it didn't. So I went and I changed all of those, right? See, excellence will help you spot detail. Now see, some of y'all are saying, well, Pastor, it's your church. I don't use that bathroom. It's nice like my bathroom, but I don't use it. So let's close with this because it's 10:31. How do we apply today's message? Because next week is going to be real practical and it's going to get hot in here. So how do we apply today's message? First of all, do what you do well. Everybody say, do what you do well. Here's number two. Do what you do well with a good attitude. Because you can mop the floor and your attitude is bad. That ain't excellence right there. Number three, assess your life to see where your excellence can grow. And then number four, make a decision that you're going to grow in your excellence. Did y'all get something out of the message today? So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life.